I'm Jeff Booth, and this is The Big Picture here on The Jeff Booth Show, brought to you by the Center for Sexual Expression and Education. Well, here it is, another year. This is our first show of the new year. Under Trump, things are in even greater chaos in 2020 than they were in 2019. He's still being impeached, but that's a whole shitstorm, because when it gets to the Senate, they've made it clear that they're not even going to seriously consider it. Not the Republicans, anyway, and it's truly insane. The Republicans are claiming, well, there's not enough evidence to convict Donald Trump. And the Democrats are saying, well, we have more evidence. We got tons of evidence, but we've got even more if you'd let these people testify. And some of them are willing to testify. And the Republicans say, ah, no, we don't need testimony in a trial. What kind of crazy stuff is that? So the Republican Party continues to tear our country to shreds. And this year, I think it's going to turn even uglier, because they're going to need more distractions from the continuing awfulness that is Trump and his continuing deterioration. If you saw his speech today with the Adderall sniffing and the barely able to get sentences to come out of his mouth and not really making any sense, on probably one of the most important speeches he had to make yet. And it's only going to get worse. So what are they going to do? What kind of distraction? Well, I think one of those distractions is going to be an all-out effort to put an end to abortion. There are a couple of important volleys towards the end of the year. There's a new federal rule that has been proposed that would require separate insurance premiums for abortion coverage. In other words, the chances of your getting abortion coverage through your job, because of the politics involved there, probably going to be pretty slim. So if you want a rider for abortion coverage, it's going to be ridiculously expensive. Probably outside what most women can afford. And isn't that the point? Because if you want an abortion, you should at least be punished for it. Now, sure, insurers will have to eat some of this, but here's what we're talking about. Let me read a quote from Human and Health Services. The insurance industry has said that the changes would create huge burdens for them, including changing their billing software, managing double the payments, and dealing with confusion from customers. HHS wrote that the total cost to insurers, exchanges, and enrollees would reach $546.1 million in 2020, stabilize at $232.1 million in 2021, and then kind of be around there in subsequent years. So in just 5 years, or just 4 years rather, you're looking at an additional $1 billion in costs. Hugely unnecessary, and ultimately the goal is to hurt women. But of course, this is just a feint. They don't consider it super important, because the real goal is to end all abortion for everybody. Now, there's different ways the Supreme Court will rule, but almost all the experts agree that this Supreme Court, the conservatives on the Supreme Court, will abolish abortion in the United States. There's a lot of ways to do it. You could turn it back to becoming a state's right and leave it to the states to decide, but I don't think that's going to establish the anti-abortion crowd, because their real goal is to keep all women under control. Remember, their goal is also to get rid of contraception, too. It's a twofer, because they want women pregnant or not having sex. They don't want women to have the choice to have sex and not get pregnant. That's outside of their belief system. So the Supreme Court could throw it back to the states. I'm kind of thinking that's not going to be satisfactory. The only thing that's really going to satisfy people is who are on the anti-choice side is making abortion murder, putting people in prison. Now, you would then have to look at every miscarriage and investigate it. So every woman who has a miscarriage would have to be investigated. It only makes sense, because otherwise women would try to fake miscarriages and claim they were abortions. And trust me, there's a lot of miscarriages they're going to have to investigate, and a lot of women they're going to have to brutalize. And I hear them in the background going, woohoo! But the bottom line is that being anti-choice, which includes both the right to an abortion and the right to contraception, that's the sword of misogynists. That is their battle weapon to use against women. Study after study has shown that women who do not have access to abortion and do not have access to contraception have a tendency to plunge into poverty. The main thing that emancipated women, let them have jobs and be more equal to men, was the ability to control whether they got pregnant or not. Without that, well, I don't know what to tell you. It will not be good for women. They've already done massive damage to Planned Parenthood. Access to abortion has been dramatically restricted. And now that they've taken huge amounts of federal money away from Planned Parenthood, where is a lot of that money going? It's going to anti-abortion centers, the crisis pregnancy centers, whose main goal is to make sure that women stay pregnant. Led by Minority Whip Steve Scalise, 166 House Republicans and 39 Senate Republicans signed an amicus brief calling the right to an abortion unworkable. There were two Democrats who also signed. That's Representative Colin Peterson from Minnesota and Representative Daniel Lipinski from Illinois, both who are known as hardline anti-abortion advocates. And on this issue, they claim they're advocating for women, but it's pretty much the only issue for women that they advocate for. They claim that the law is unworkable as it stands, and I pretty much agree with that. This law has allowed them to whittle away at abortion rights so much that they're almost non-existent at this point. A fair and reasonable rehearing might be appropriate, but that's not what we're going to get from this Supreme Court, where the conservative majority has already made up their mind. This group of conservatives is all male, of course, but they're quite ready to get rid of rights for women. And they've been signaling that that's their intent. When that happens and the battle moves to focus on outlawing contraception, you're going to see a civil war here in the United States. Quite the battle. But it will be a distracting battle. Something for people to be fighting over while they continue their work of dismantling our democracy. Now, that battle in 2020 is an absolute certainty. There's another battle, may not be an absolute certainty, but I think is highly likely to happen, and that's a new and enhanced war on the right of adults to look and view at any kind of sexual content they want, as long as it's not child pornography, as long as it depicts people who were consenting. The problem here is, well, our so-called attorney general is completely devoted to Donald Trump and serves more as his personal attorney than someone representing the United States. Religious nationalism biographer Catherine Stewart and former American Constitutional Society president Carolyn Fredrickson wrote for the New York Times, and they argued that Bill Barr is best understood as a fanatical theocrat who believes America is damned to burn into hell unless he uses the power of his office to correct the nation's sinful ways. It was hard to believe that someone who had been a former attorney general would so debase himself at Trump's feet. But he's a true theocrat. He's a true believer. He believes he's saving us all from our sins in the name of God. You know the type. A crusader. And as a true religious, theocratic fanatic, he has a history of going after pornography, as he did when he was attorney general. And he's also extremely anti-gay, although that was not a big issue when he was attorney general. They tried very hard to ignore that whole subject. But in a 1995 article for the Catholic Lawyer, he said that we were living in an increasingly militant secular age, and he implied that the idea of universities treating homosexual activist groups like any other student group was intolerable. He absolutely believes in Christian supremacy, and that Christians should be running our country, and that our country should be run under Christian values. Or at least his sick and twisted interpretation of Christian values, where he can lie all he wants for the president as long as he can get things he wants done that he thinks God wants done. And scariest of all, he worships Trump. He sees Trump as the chosen one, no joke. And we talked mostly in our Friday religious segment about how Christianity has been turning into a Christian cult, at least on the evangelical end, and Trump has become the equivalent of their pope, maybe even more powerful than the pope. As such, at least when it comes to Trump, and I suppose Republicans in general, he believes in a unquestioned leader who can do whatever they want. There are no restrictions in his worldview on the presidency, and he's made that clear over and over again. Let that slip into your mind. The Attorney General of the United States believes that Donald Trump was sent here by God to be our president and to rescue us all from sin. So he sees Donald Trump as a Christ-like figure. Now stop and take a breath and realize who Donald Trump really is. A sexually assaulting, ravenously homophobic, white Christian supremacist who repeatedly cheats on his multiple wives, constantly insults everyone with fourth-grade insults, and lies with almost every word that he says out loud. And I say out loud because he hasn't written very much. He's not much of a reader or a writer. His books were all ghostwritten by someone else. Now, if Trump is our savior, God help us all.